a verse from Scripture from 1 Peter, and you'll recognise this verse in our series that we've done over the summer, and it's from chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by gold, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive his holy word, to pray for our needs and the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. We confess together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our appointed psalm for this Sunday, the 19th Sunday after Trinity, is Psalm 99. And we'll say this by alternate verse. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. Jacob, you have done right and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. This morning we are continuing our sermon series on You Are the Church, and James will be looking at us being his hands and his feet. So to the children who are in the building and are watching at home online, I want to talk to you about your hands and about your feet. I'm sure you probably know the song, The Hokey Pokey. It goes like this. You put your right hand in, your right hand out, in, out, shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn around, and that's what it's all about. Can you imagine what would happen if we were doing the hokey pokey and the left hand refused to do the hokey pokey because it wanted to be your right foot? What if the right foot then said, since I am not the left hand, I am not part of the body, so I refuse to be in the hokey pokey? The next thing you know, the body and the head might say, I don't need any of you, I can do the hokey pokey all on my own. But this can never be. The hands, the feet, the head, your eyes are all part of your body. They're all part of your whole self. You need them all to be able to do the hokey pokey. After all, the song says, that's what it's all about. Maybe this example of the hokey pokey seems a little bit silly, but it is a good picture of the church. The Bible teaches us that the church is the body of Christ and that it is made up of many members. And each member has a gift, has been given different gifts to use for the glory of God. Now, some here will have been given the gift of preaching and teaching. Others will have been given the gift of healing. Maybe some people are good leaders and seeing that everything runs smoothly within the church. And maybe others have been given the help of helping others. Just as God gave us hands, he gave us feet, he gave us our head, our eyes, our ears, and our mouth, God has given the church different members with different gifts to meet the needs of the whole church. And just like the hokey pokey says, that's what it's all about. We need all of our body, we need all of our members with all of their gifts to be the church. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you have given us every part of our body, from our head to our feet. And Lord, we thank you that you have also given us the gifts that are needed in your church. And we pray that you would equip each one of us to figure out what those gifts are and to use them for your service and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, and it's entitled, One Body with Many Parts. Christ is like a single body which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, have been baptized into the one body by the same Spirit, and we have all been given the one Spirit to drink. For the body itself is not made up of only one part, but of many parts. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not keep it from being a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not keep it from being a part of the body. If the whole body were just an eye, how could it hear? And if it were only an ear, how could it smell? As it is, however, God put every different part in the body just as he wanted it to be. There would not be a body if it were all only one part. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So then, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor can the head say to the feet, well, I don't need you. On the contrary, we cannot do without the parts of the body that seem to be weaker. And those parts that we think aren't worth very much are the ones which we treat with greater care. While the parts of the body which don't look very nice are treated with special modesty, which the more beautiful parts do not need. God himself has put the body together in such a way as to give greater honour to those parts that need it. And so there is no division in the body, but all its different parts have the same concern for one another. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. If one part is praised, all the other parts share its happiness. Here ends the reading.
Thank you to Lynn for reading that for us today. As Sarah already said, we are continuing our series, You Are the Church. As we have begun to gather in person again, we are beginning to look at what it means as we gather not only in person but also online this morning. How we effectively are the church. What part we play as individuals and corporately. That we are ordinary people transformed ordinary God. That's a phrase we've used over this series. We're an ordinary people transformed by an extraordinary God. And it's amazing to think that. The apostles, the first disciples, devoted themselves to the word of God, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We were encouraged that we were to think that of the four alls, God was all-powerful, that he sends us to all nations, that we are to be all obedient towards him, and that he is always with us. We are reminded that his presence is powerful, and that his presence drives us to be present with other people. A couple of weeks ago, we thought about the great thing, how we, in our generosity, in our blessing, or in our giving back what God has given to us, we see the advancement of his kingdom in this place and among the lives of other people. And last week with Bishop Funda, we thought about the harvest of kindness. And we were challenged to go away and to be even more kind than we normally are during this week. How did that go? Did you receive kindness from somebody else? Did it bring a smile to your face? Did you give kindness towards someone else and you saw a smile on their face? It changes something in the atmosphere, doesn't it? It changes something in our tempo. But today we think about being his hands and his feet. Now, that's a phrase that I've used quite a bit over this kind of lockdown period and even before that, that you and I are God's hands and his feet in this world. We are his presence carriers, if you like. See, John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And so we carry the presence of Christ with us. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us means that we are his presence carriers. And whenever we are his presence carriers, we are his hands and his feet. We are the expression of the church in our community. We heard today from our reading, a fairly familiar reading, if you've been about church or church circles over a period of time, you'll have heard that reading maybe before about us, the church, the body of Christ, being one body but made up of many parts. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though it's all its parts are many, they form but one body. Now we look around this morning. There are lots of us here. We're all individuals. We have different likes and dislikes. So let's settle something this morning. Are you ready? Ulster fry. Hands up if you put beans on it. That's about a third of the congregation. Hands up if an Ulster fry has no beans. We have settled it. Once and for all in my house, we have settled the discussion and the disagreement. There are no beans on an Ulster fry. We are all individuals. We have different likes and dislikes. But what God says to us is that whenever we come with our different personalities into the one place to make up his church, we are one body. We have one unity to worship him, to glorify him, and to share him with other people. And the mixture of who we are as individuals, in one sense, as we see later on, gets left to the side, and we sit under the foundational unity that he is our king. Verse 14 says, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every single one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Really, what the Apostle Paul is getting at, given different gifts, as Sarah has to and shared with us already today. Some of us are called to teach, some of us are called with a gift of administration, with a gift of helps, with a gift of kindness, with a gift of leadership. We all play our part. And no part is too small. Every part is important. And no part can be too big because every part is important. There was a temptation as Sarah was doing that at children's talk for me to try to get up and do the hokey cookie. I'll be honest. Whenever you hear that song sung, it's almost very hard to sit still, isn't it? You kind of want to put your right arm out and your left leg out. And then that thought that she gave us, whenever we put our, she gave the instruction to put her right arm out, if we put her left leg out instead, if one believed it was something else, the whole thing would go pear-shaped and I would cope over and give you a good laugh. Will we give it a go? No. And so actually, what this passage is saying to us is that we recognize the gifts that we have been given. What God has called us to do in this body, this part of his body here in this parish, in this church, and we do it. You don't have to get jealous because somebody else is better at doing something else, because that's not our part to play. We can't say, oh, I've been doing that, or I have done that, and so I don't think I'll do it anymore, because actually maybe you're the only person who has that particular gift here in this place. And you're needed as part of this body. The phrase that we hear in our media, especially politicians at the minute, is, we're in this together. We are in this together. And not the phrase for this passage. We are in this together. We are the church. We were not designed to be loners. God designed us from the very moment his breath, his ruah, breathe breath into creation. He designed us for a relationship. And at the foundation of who we are is a unity that is founded around the word. John chapter 1, verse 1, we'll come up to Christmas. John chapter 1, verse 1 is a really familiar Christmas passage that we hear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word incarnate. On the cross, the Word resurrected is our foundation. Jesus Christ is our foundation. And we place our trust. We cannot just think about ourselves in this. See, verse 21 in our passage today says this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We can't just think about ourselves. We are in this together. We can't allow our inhibitions to suffocate how we are in relationship. Verse 26 says this. If one suffers, every part suffers. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We cannot allow our inhibition to suffocate how we do relationship. For years, the fear of rejection suffocated me having a relationship with other people. I was like a porcupine. Whenever anybody came near, I put the spikes up. I became prickly. Don't touch me. Stay away from me. Don't get close to me. For fear if they knew who James was, that James would be rejected. And so in one sense, the persona around me became one who looked for the acceptance of other people rather than being myself. And so I became inhibited. It was only whenever the inhibition began to move and to slip away by the grace of God that I, in one sense, truly found who I was and truly found the gifts that God had given me. Because I realized that I am a child of God. That he looks at me as someone who is fearfully and wonderfully made. With all of my insecurities or foibles or sin or difficulties, all of those things, he still looks at me and says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And because of that, I no longer need to be a porcupine towards other people. I can be in relationship with other people, and then I can truly find who I am. I wonder, has the similar inhibitions stopped you from truly allowing other people in this church as a part of the body of Christ truly see who you are and the gifts that God has given you? But I was living an impoverished life. In finding others, I found myself in one sense, because I allowed Christ to be my focus. I'm not saying that I'm totally over that. There's still those moments of inhibition. I don't mind finding myself, but there are. Do you know that old adage, if a man makes a mistake in a forest and there's nobody else there, is he still wrong? You heard that sort of phrase before, haven't you? Yeah. Well, he probably is, isn't he? Well, here's the other one. If I get lost in a forest, I cannot simply say, I see myself, so I'm no longer lost. I need identifying trees or paths or to bump into another person who knows the way, in order that I can become found again. I need external factors to help me in my journey. We're in this together. We need each other. We are one body made up of many parts. So how are you in relationship with other people? In this church, in this community, in your workplace, in your school, in your social bubble? How are you in relationship with others? We were made for relationship with each other. And it's then and only then you can truly dance. And I prepared to finish with that statement before Sarah talked about the hokey cookie. We were made for a relationship with each other, and it's then and only then that you can truly do the hokey cookie. We are in this together. Let's be his hands and his feet, his eyes and his ears, his heart in this community. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have called us and spoken into our lives afresh and anew. We desire more of that today. So in this moment, help us to examine our relationships and our need of them. Strip away the things that need to be stripped away in order that your Spirit can truly reveal who we are and the gifts that you've given us, so that we can play and step into our part in this, your body. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We continue in prayer. Let us remember that God is with us now. There is no place where God is not. Wherever we go, there God is. He gathers us in his arms and looks upon us with mercy. and is ready to hear us when we call. Therefore, let us pray. Almighty God, more generous than any father, more loving than any family, we stand amazed at the many gifts you shower upon your people. You give freely and willingly. You give daily gifts. You give gifts to us through each other. Lord, we give you our humble thanks for all that you have given us. We are sorry when we take for granted the simple yet necessary things you give us, like food, shelter, clothing, clean water. Lord, we pray for those whom these essential things would be a luxury. Provide for them and equip charities such as Food Bank to reach out to those in need. Lord, we give you thanks for your church. Not just the building, but the people who are the church. We thank you for each person in our building and those listening online. We give you thanks that you give us gifts beyond measure to be used for your service. By your Spirit, help us to individually discover our own gifts and how they can be used for your glory. We specifically give thanks for our select vestry as they make decisions for our parish. We pray for those who ensure our building is clean and safe for us to attend services. We give you thanks for those who enable our service to be broadcast online for a wide range of people. Lord, may they know that their work is never taken for granted. Merciful Lord, we entrust to your tender care those who are ill or in pain, knowing that whenever danger threatens, your everlasting arms are there to hold them safe. Comfort and heal them according to your will, and restore them to health and strength. We take a moment to remember all who are ill at this time. Gracious God, give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who care for the sick, and your wisdom to those searching for a cure. Strengthen them with your Spirit, that through their work, many will be restored to health. Lord, we remember this morning our teachers and our schools. Lord, we pray that in this time that you would give teachers, classroom assistants, cleaners and cooks, all who work within our schools, rest. We pray that you would restore and refresh each one. We pray for parents adjusting to kids being back home at school. We pray that you would give them peace and patience. Lord, we pray for our businesses. Help them not only in this time to survive, but in the long run to thrive. God of love and hope, you made the world and care for all creation. But the world feels a little strange right now. The news is full of stories about coronavirus. Some people are worried that they might get ill, while others are anxious for family and friends. Be with them and help them to find your peace. We pray for all medical staff, doctors, nurses, and scientists, and all who are working to discover the right medicines to help those who are ill. Thank you that even in these anxious times, you are with us. Help us to put our trust in you and keep us safe. Lord, we give you thanks that your love and presence is never ending. We pray for all this day whom have died from COVID-19 and all who have tested positive, remembering that every single number on our news is a family, is a friend. Help us to be wise in our decisions to protect one another. Help us to trust those who govern and grant us patience. Lord, we may not know why this side of heaven, but we put our trust in you to equip us to be your hands and feet in a needy world. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your disciples, I am with you always. Be with us today as we offer ourselves to you. Hear our prayers for others and for ourselves, and keep us in your care. A collect for this 19th Sunday after Trinity. O God, whose beauty is beyond our imagining, and whose power we cannot comprehend, show us your glory, as far as we can grasp it, and shield us from knowing more than we can bear, until we may look upon you without fear. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we join together in the prayer that our God once taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Just before we end our service this morning, there's just a few little announcements. DVK, our children's ministry, continues to happen each Friday evening via Zoom. If you would like to still be a part of that, please do send us an email or a message and we will get you signed up. Our youth ministry are going to meet online on the 23rd of October for an online escape room. This is for everyone year 8 and above. If you are interested in that, you can send us a wee message, or there is a little image advertising that. If you would scan the little code on it, that will take you to our sign up page. And if you sign up, then you can be a part of that on the 23rd of October at 8 p.m. Our Small Steps service continues this Tuesday at 10 a.m. If you're just not quite sure about coming out to church on a Sunday, but would like to start edging back into the building, everyone is very welcome to that service on a Tuesday morning, where we'll gather for a very short form of morning prayer. We mentioned last week about life groups. This will be a 5-week series connecting our Sunday service to our Monday to Saturday lives. It's not another thing to be added to your to-do list, but it's a passionate call to expand our view of worship and how we worship God. And our plan for that is to meet weekly. We had planned to meet in person and also online, but we will review that and let you know where we stand with current restrictions. If you would like to sign up for that, you can sign up online. The links are on our website, or else there is a page just as you exit the door. You can sign up with your name and email address. So our life groups that happen during the week, they will coincide with everything that we will be teaching for 5 weeks on a Sunday starting in November. If you have any questions about life groups or what that might look like, please don't hesitate to chat to James or I. Our free will offering is just at the door, or if you're watching online and still would like to give to our Harvest project, there is a link on our resources page where you can do that. As we exit the building this morning, just please do remember that we keep safe and keep socially distant while having our masks on. As we go, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.